Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Because kids come first, we always feel that every step of the way. We have Wednesdays with Neil, and we welcome in the outstanding Neil Coulong, dedicated to us and to his family.
Yeah, it's good to expand our calendar a little bit. You know, the local school district doesn't agree, but that's fine. I was told our setup would be a little bit different than it was, so I apologize. We had to push this back a day.
Perfectly happy with how it turned out. So let's. It also delayed 24 hours you having to talk about the Steelers. When you turned to Mason Rudolph in the end, and I say this with all due respect to him, what does that tell us?
It tells us how bad the coaching staff felt about Mitch Trubisky's performance on Saturday, and it's a rare opportunity to see that what we saw really did match what the coaching staff saw. I don't think they even took a whole lot of time to decide that. The fact that they yanked Trubisky from the game, to me, my immediate thought was, this is for now and it's for next week in case Pickett can't play. Now, let's put an asterisk by that. We don't know yet, but the fact that they are going to go through every possible machination there is to get Kenny Pickett on the field on Saturday suggest to you the level of faith that they have in Mason Rudolph and certainly in Mitch Trubisky. And in my opinion, over time, up to and including Saturday, that's a well-earned opinion because, wow, that was, to put it mildly, you can't win with quarterback play like that at the NFL level. You just can't. That was a career-killing game for Mitch Trubisky. That was really, really bad. A very unfortunate time for the Steelers, and a game they set up for him very well. You know, they came off, right out of the gate. They looked pretty good. They did a few things. They get the big special teams play. They're up 13-0. They're built to win those games. And not only did they lose the game, they didn't compete from that moment on. And it brings up a slew of issues. Not least of all what they're going to do at quarterback, because it looks like death by gunshot, stabbing, or electrocution right now between the three of them, and I'm not really sure what they're going to be able to do about it for the remainder of the season.
Quarterbacks have to help themselves, but they also along the way need help. We've already seen the effort in the Cincinnati game from Deontay Johnson. We are now seeing the effort from George Pickens on the other side. What is your comment on the lack of a professional effort by those guys?
I like to think that my comment will be a bit more professional than Pickens was. As if the play itself wasn't bad enough. The full disclosure in front of the media, the reason that he didn't even attempt to block the receiver, it's not like he let him by, he didn't even move, was because he was worried about getting rolled up on like Tank Dell did. I'm honestly not sure if he could have said anything worse in that moment. The bottom line for me is, like, look, you're a football player, okay? There are ways to avoid things like that, and there are the unfortunate injuries like, you know, what Tank Dell suffered, unfortunately, a great player, a lot of fun to watch this season. You can't not do your job because you're worried about something that's happening 8 yards away from you on the field. And I really shouldn't have to. It's amazing to me that we're even having this conversation. That's how disappointing that was in my mind. He's young. He clearly has demonstrated both at Georgia and now within the Steelers organization, he's not very mature. I accepted those things as an observer, saying, like, you know, these are kind of the fleas that come with the dog. You have to work these things out. They have to learn how to be professional. But if he is that far off base, honestly, I'm looking for trade partners in this offseason. I don't want somebody. I said the same thing about Deontay Johnson. I'm not against that either. You can't win with people like that. And the reason I said what I said about Johnson after the Cincinnati game was because that kind of thing is contagious. When you've got a young, already immature receiver who's understandably, if not rightfully, upset with the direction of the offense, they're going to start doing the same thing. And that's what you're seeing. You saw in two different games, one was a win, one was a loss, but you saw two pivotal offensive players on the Steelers quit on their team.
Yeah.
I can't tell you, Steve, how many times I've seen a Steelers player do that once, let alone two different players in the same season. And to me, something has to be done about that. If it can't be done in season, and I understand this is what fans want, why don't you just bench him? Why don't you just run him? All these other kinds of, you know, I'm sorry, but high school level tactics to motivate somebody. If they can't show up as professionals and do their jobs, they don't need to be on the team. You know, at the same time, they really don't have anybody else. No team would be able to lose two receivers for disciplinary issues while they're still competing kind of for a playoff spot and have it end well for anybody. You know, you're not going to be able to do that. But that does not mean they're not going to look to make a move following the season. And it's absolutely 100% justified. If they don't do it, it's not because they didn't want to, in my opinion. It's because they're not going to get back the return that they feel they'll need, or it's not enough to overcome what they feel they can do with the player. But that was embarrassing. That was a disgrace. I honestly, you know, I don't like dipping into hyperbole and, you know, trying to put all these probably overstated emotions into something, but it's a proud standing organization. It's maybe the most recognizable brand as far as the NFL goes in the world. That's humiliating to them. You can't have that. You just can't. And for him to justify it the way he did, he had the opportunity to apologize or whatever, tap dance around it. For him to suggest it's because he feels like he could get hurt. Like, okay, then you don't need to be playing football. I don't know what to tell you. This is not a pain-free sport. It's not a risk-free game. You're not able to have those kinds of thoughts and actions and play this game successfully. And if you're not going to do that, you shouldn't be here.
I mean, do you think for a second that Joe Green, Mel Blunt, Jack Lambert, Jack Ham, Mike Wagner, Lynn Swann, John Stallworth, Rocky Blyer, Franco Harris, you think they ever quit on a play or a game? Ever?
I honestly feel like Jack Lambert would have gone after Pickens himself if he was on the other team.
Agreed.
For doing that. Because you're dragging the quality of the game down. I haven't seen high school players do that kind of thing. You know, I'm going back in my mind. I was joking with some friends that I remember, not the year exactly, but Lawrence Timmons was known for this. For whatever reason, he just had a very nervous stomach, and he threw up a lot after chugging some water, Gatorade, on the sideline. Timmons threw up in the middle of plays and continued playing. You know, there's just no excuse for it. There's absolutely no excuse for it. It's not even like, you know, I understand if you're tired, you're in a two-minute drill, you know what the play is going to be. You get off the line, you kind of get in the guy's way. You're not looking to drive him through the stadium or anything. I understand that. I'm not saying it needs to be that level of effort, but you're not even putting yourself in between the tackler and the ball carrier to a point where that guy was able to deliver a direction-altering hit on the running back that very well could have prevented a touchdown.
Yeah.
I don't know how more plainly it can be than that. And for him to have the excuse that he had, I've got to ask Brisman Jackson, the wide receivers coach, did you guys not discuss this in film? Was it not made abundantly clear to him that that's not acceptable? Mike Tomlin, did you weigh in on this? It's that bad, in my mind. It's an egregious disrespect to Pickens' teammates, to his coaches, to the game itself, And something like that has to be addressed. And I don't know you can do it any way other than harsh, but it needs to be done. And I don't know what the plan is, but we're going to be talking about this for a long time as far as the history of the game goes, the history of the Steelers goes, because I have not seen anything like that from a player.
I mean, it's one thing if it happens once, but this has now happened twice with different guys. See, that's the issue. And let's remember, too, and then I'm not going to be one of those that jumps on the Mike Tomlin, anti-Mike Tomlin bandwagon here. But remember, Dan Rooney hired Mike Tomlin, not Art Rooney, not Art the Second.
Yeah, and we've talked about that specifically. The game itself has changed tremendously in the time since Mike Tomlin got hired. And this is not a get-rid-of-Tomlin rant. The reality is they're in a much different situation than they were. People say all the time, well, they barely ever hire they're not firing or hiring coaches very often. Yes, but they still do. And many other coaches in the league, you could see right now they were not going to have a job. Brandon Staley during the Chargers game, mm-hmm. where literally everybody on the field was, more or less playing like they had some type of illness, he got fired the next day. And it wasn't surprising to anybody. We pre-wrote the story of him getting fired. That's how obvious it was. If Mike Tomlin was not Mike Tomlin, there is no way in the world anybody would think he'd have a job after the season.
Right.
So I don't know exactly what that's worth. I don't know if that's the right solution, but something isn't working here, and something significant needs to be done. George Pickens cannot get Mike Tomlin fired. Deontay Johnson cannot get Mike Tomlin fired. But is this going to spread? He's got three games left, and in my opinion now, there's no other way to approach it other than he's coaching for his job. And that's reasonable. You can't have what you had on the field. And it seems to be continuing. If it was just a one-time thing for Johnson, as frustrating as that is, as in my opinion, fatal as it is for Johnson on the Steelers, if the rest of the team sees that and knows that's an example of what's unacceptable on this team, okay, you sent the message, it's an isolated incident. Now it's happened twice. Now what are you going to say to me that's going to convince me that you have this under control, that this is not going to be a continued problem? I swear I'm not trying to be dramatic about it, but this goes beyond even losing the game. This is just it's an insult to your team. Yeah. You can't keep somebody like that. You just can't. So what are you going to do about it? Why is this any different? And why should I trust that it's not going to continue to happen? If you can't stop it, it will continue. And that's basic management. That's basic leadership. And unfortunately, you have to call that out now. You have to wonder.
And, Neil, there's one other element to it. Right? This is not, and I say this with all due respect, it is not the Los Angeles fan base. Okay? Where they show up maybe a little later, leave a little earlier. They have expectations, too. But this is the Pittsburgh fan base. I mean, yeah, they're white-collar in there, but there's a lot of blue-collar in there. And they don't appreciate for one second anything that is less than somebody's best. I mean, this, it's a blue-collar city.
And just talking to the people that I've talked to, a lot of it really is the representation of what the team is. And I know that that's typically used as more of a rah-rah type of thing, but the reality is the people of Pittsburgh, and I'm not saying this in reference to anybody else, but the people in Pittsburgh, they're the fan base is loyal to the team, and they expect things to be done a certain way. Now, are they usually unhappy with the way things are being done? Yes, absolutely. They're fans. But it is a part of their DNA. It's a part of their culture. It goes way above and beyond simple things. It's inbred in them. So to suggest something like this is not going to be, worried about or stressed over is a real problem. It's going to get way beyond just George Pickens, the player. And to be fair, for those who know, wide receiver position is one of the most fungible in the NFL. maybe second behind running back. There are a lot of really good college receivers nowadays. You and I have talked about this a bunch. I remember when watching Odell Beckham in college. I'm not exactly experienced, but I was like, that's the best college wide receiver I've ever seen. I mean, he was advanced. He could do everything. There's probably five of him every year now. And there are 12 of them that you could take in the first two rounds. George Pickens was like that.
Yeah.
And he's a talented player, but he's not improving. His attitude is beyond a distraction. It's to the point that this is my third radio spot, and this is the only thing really to talk about. And this team changed quarterbacks as a coach that's about to get fired. Presumably, people think that that's the case, in kind of a playoff push. And they have no safeties playing this weekend because their safety, who's been fined five times for unnecessary roughness, got thrown out and suspended for the rest of the year. None of these are talking points surrounding this team right now. That's right. How big of a distraction this is. And I don't know if we really grasp the full magnitude of it, but I think this is going to be a bigger deal this offseason than people are thinking that it is right now.
Which then brings me to the KZ play. In real time, it's bang, bang. When I looked at it, is it a brutal hit? Sure. But he led with his shoulder. At least that's what I thought. And he ends up being suspended for the season. I realized that he had five other unnecessary roughness penalties. What was your thought, A, on the hit on Michael Pittman and then the resulting suspension?
The thing of it is, with these, we have a tendency that we want to digest it all immediately as one thing. This is a chain reaction. It's a hospital ball from Minshew. Just a terrible pass to the point where I'm sure Minshew has apologized to him for it.
Right.
As Tom Brady made it adamantly clear, it was a terrible throw. And it was. That doesn't come without consequence, but that consequence can't be, you know, your receiver getting folded over by the defensive player. You're right. He did lead with his shoulder, but the rule is you can't hit a defenseless receiver in the head and neck area. It doesn't matter what you hit him with. The thing that gets me more than anything is you couldn't define defenseless receiver better than Michael Pittman in that situation. I mean, he couldn't protect himself in any way. Can KZ get to the ball without doing what he did? I don't know. What I know is this. The NFL has been the subject of litigation for the better part of two decades regards to player safety, player health.
That's right.
If you watch that play, frame by frame or in full speed, fast forward even, however you want to watch it, can you sit there at the 10,000-foot level and say that's okay in the game that is being sued constantly for not being safe enough for people?
Right.
From a legal perspective, from an organizational perspective, there is no way you can allow that. You just can't. The game is bigger than DeMonte Casey's ability to get to a football, you know, a week 14 game. Okay? Just they're not going to bend around that. And on top of that, right or wrong, fair or indifferent, they've been calling this for the last 11 years. Okay? We probably should be used to it by now. My knee-jerk reaction was, and I tweeted this, he's going to get tossed, and he's probably going to get suspended. Not at all surprised. I think they'll appeal. I think they'll bring it down a little bit. Just, you know, they want to throw the highest high penalty out right away because they know they're going to appeal and they're going to try to bring that down to make it look like they're trying to work with the player or whatever. But at the same time, like, dude, you've been fined for this five times this year. Okay, right. At some point, the hammer's going to come down. And that's what I mean. It's not because of the hit that he's suspended. It's the hit plus the five other times they've tried to get through to him that you can't play the game this way. And I don't know what to tell you unless he's the least lucky person in the world. To my knowledge, Minkah Fitzpatrick, who has more tackles per game than KZ does, hasn't been fined for anything yet this year. So there comes a point that you have to say the game is possible to be played at a successful level without folding guys over, taking shoulder shots directly to their head when they're completely stretched out. You can't do that. I understand fans are upset, but the NFL is pretty clear that that's just simply not allowed. Do you let him catch it? No, but you can probably try to go for the ball. You can try to jar it loose. You can even, I don't know, get lower and try to hit him in the chest, which is what you're supposed to do. I'm not his coach, what I know is he's been fined several times for this. That play wasn't going to swing the game either way, and what he did is incredibly dangerous.
And again, why is the rule in place? The rule's in place because they're trying to save the game. I mean, that's what they're trying to do. I mean, you circle. I mean, that's part of circling the wagon, saying, "Hey, look, we want football to stay alive. So, look, we're going to put these kind of rules in place." So,
this is the thing we have to do.
Right, Neil. To you and your great family, happy holidays. Appreciate you so much. And believe it or not, if you're available, we'll talk Tuesday.
Hey, I'll be here for sure.
Good.
Favorite part of the week. You guys have a happy holiday as well. Always great. Love doing this. Glad to be here and glad you guys want me back.
Yeah, you're the best. Thanks, Neil. Neil Coulon.